kids absolutely adored my mother. She taught little kids from his school. And I taught preschool for a little while, but really I never felt like a skill walking. And it's partly because I can't hear them for saying that.
Yes.
I had to make them start out with the answer and let me read the question. Okay. In the joke books. But it helped. And they know, they try. But I thought, and with all those kids, these little kids all of a sudden thought, what if I'm kind of trying to find a sign of like, oh, that would be so cool.
I'm sure you are.
Yes.
Whoa. I know I am.
Really?
Well, I'm happy about that.
I am too. I am too.
I'm kind of a cross between my mom and dad, but
yes.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yes. I was real close to my dad too. And yeah, I have
all my layers.
Hold them all there.
Yeah.
I didn't think we'd still be wearing layers. Liz and I were talking about all of our.
I know. I put a bunch of them away. I said, I'm not wearing turtlenecks. Put these on. And it's only one day.
And I
put
my
corduroys. Yeah. I have corduroys. I wore. This was going to be the first one. So much
I did too. She said, well, I didn't answer her way.
Yeah.
I'm asleep now.
Unfortunately.
Welcome. It's so nice to see all of you here, whether in person or on Facebook or on YouTube. We also want to welcome our new pastor, Monica Banks, and her husband, Ryan Thrasher. You don't know how glad we are that you're here. If you are here in person, please sign in on the burgundy folders in the center of each pew. Also, in your bulletin, there is a form here. When they changed programs, they lost a lot of information, like birthdays and stuff, and they would like to get that back. So if you would please fill this out and put it in the offering trays, that would be appreciated. So could everyone please stand for the call to worship? The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork.
We come together to sing God's glory.
We come today to rejoice in God's work.
We come today to give thanks for God's call and to those who say yes.
We come to worship God who calls and ordains, the God who loves and redeems.
Let us worship in spirit and in truth.
Please sing with us our opening hymn, Sing Praise to God Who Reigns Above, found number 6 in your chalice hymnal.
Let us pray.
Most gracious God, thank you for letting us gather today to praise you. We thank you for the moisture you've brought to the earth, and we thank you for bringing Pastor Monica to lead us as we transition through many things. Be with this church and with Pastor Monica as she gives us her message and guidance. Help us to be receptive to the need of our church and family as we worship you today. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Some announcements. Addie Sales' father passed away after a long battle with cancer. Please keep her and her family in your prayers. Marsha Bishop fractured a bone in her shoulder and welcomes prayers for a complete recovery. Tom Klein's memorial service will be held this Friday, April 26th at 1 p.m. at First Christian Church. Please keep his family in your prayers. Donna McCoy's son Brian and his girlfriend Joanna will be in Beirut through Wednesday for her work with the World Food Program. Pray for their safety and for the people they are ministering to. Continued prayers for Katie Kelson-Tullis for chronic back pain in her back. And our friends Don and Bev Sarton, former members of First Christian Church, are both facing and struggling with multiple serious health issue challenges. Please keep them in your prayers. And continued prayers for Glenn and Karen Tamlinson, Pam Mullen's granddaughter, Andrea, Barbara Bloomquist, and others in our church family who are dealing with personal struggles. Also, the flowers today are in honor of Dorothy Hayes' service that was on Friday. They were given by Philip and Karen. A few other announcements that we have. After church today, there will be a potluck to welcome Monica and Ryan to our church. There's also a pastor's baptism class that will be held tomorrow at 4 p.m. via Zoom. You contact the office if you're interested. There's a trustees meeting tomorrow at 4 p.m. and then a ministry board meeting at 6 p.m. Come join us in the choir. Anybody who wants to sing, you're welcome. There'll be rehearsal at 6:30 on Thursdays. And Sketch Club with Andy will be held from 4 to 8 on Thursdays. There will be a work day next Saturday, beginning at 9 a.m. Be sure to get this on your calendar and sign up with Angie Kellums. Angie, raise your hand so they know who you are. There's also a First Christian Church anniversary on May 9th, and installation Sunday for Pastor Monica will be on the 12th of May. So, any other announcements that I've missed? Okay. Can everybody stand and greet each other with the grace of peace.
Okay. I'm good. I don't know if I'm wired. I am. I'm wired. I can hear myself. Can you hear me think?
What are you reading something?
I say it was.
Good morning.
I barely recognized you.
Luke didn't see me without my whiskers until today.
I
but younger.
I was with for bud and a
much younger.
And I fought and I'm scared of fine beasts.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to talk about a good shepherd.
And I first beast.
And do you think good shepherds let his lambs go where there's lots of bees? Does he take them where there's lots of rocks?
No.
Does he? Where would a good shepherd take sheep? Lots of grass. What else?
Green grass.
Healthy green grass. What else might they need?
I have that at my house.
Water, of course, right? Cool, clear water. And why do people have sheep?
Because we can sheep their wool to make clothing.
Things like that?
Yes.
What are these things good for?
Socks.
Staying warm?
Socks.
No, don't put them on.
This is definitely not my size.
Oh, right.
Not my size either.
But these are all made from sheep. Every one of them. Except this one's not.
Why? Then why is this one black?
It's got dye in it.
Dye?
Yep, just like the red one.
Inside the wool?
Yeah.
I'm always
black.
But I have another question for you guys. How can Jesus be the good shepherd and the lamb?
What? Did they cut off?
Do you know? How can that be? You know? Do you know, Mario? How could Jesus be the good shepherd and the lamb? Go ahead.
Well, why are these socks black? What do they make? Do they make the sheep swallow dye?
Nope. But some of them have black hair.
No, because they put the dye in the wool.
But meanwhile, back at the ranch. Back at the ranch, when we found Jesus as a baby, he wasn't a lamb. But later they said he was a lamb. How come? He was sacrificed to God, right? He gave up his life for other people's lives.
He got resurrected and lived like another year or two.
Right. And he was also called a good teacher. And he says, don't call me good. There's only one good. Who did he think was good?
God.
Jesus.
Good answer. So, but we call him a good shepherd, and we call him a lamb, and that causes us to get confused. So it's kind of like making socks. We learn things that teach us other things we can hook to it, and eventually everything you guys are going to know is going to hold a whole bunch of ideas about who was Jesus. Does that make sense?
But
you're learning little tiny things that help you learn little tiny things.
But how do they make gloves? Like
with a needle.
And leather.
And they knit them.
Like sometimes.
How did they take the wool and put leather on it?
We'll have to do that in another lesson. But I'd like to pray now, and you could join me. Thank you, God, for giving us challenges. But more importantly, thank you for giving us a place to grow and thrive and share and be safe. We appreciate our lives with each other. We appreciate sharing our pastures together. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys next Sunday.
Absolutely.
Will you go to God in prayer with me? God of compassion, we pray for a troubled world, for countries with areas of deepening conflict and war, for those fleeing for their lives, or through frailty must remain in war zones, those struggling with drought or lack of clean, fresh water. We pray too for the people of India struggling to cope with increasing demands after COVID and lack of adequate health care. God, we pray for all charity and relief workers, peacemakers, medical and rescue staff. May they know of your love and your abiding protection. God, we come to you this morning in a week where Earth Day is marked. We marvel that you place the Earth in its perfect position among the planets and the stars and the universe, that we indeed are the right distance to benefit from the sun and see the majestic mountains. Here in this place, we are in awe of your creation and appreciate its purpose and its beauty, using each and every one of our senses to feel, to see, to hear, to smell, and to taste. We remind ourselves that this breathtaking view is given through your creative hand and is ours not only to appreciate, but to be stewards of. God, this morning we remember all who are called to share in the shepherding of your people. We pray for your leaders here in this congregation and in the greater Central Rocky Mountain region as they continue with inventive ways to keep us all connected and help us to reach out to those in need. We thank you for all in our church family who serve you in small and quiet ways, who use their particular gifts either in paid work or church life or in their families. Healer of healers, be with those who have brought to you this morning for care among us. For we know not always how to care for them, ourselves. Give them comfort for their wounds, heal their physical needs as well as their grief and their emotional pain. We know that you are indeed a God who suffers with those who suffer. God, we ask that amidst all of this, you celebrate our joys, these first comings together, the covenant that we will make with one another, the time of transition held together with prayers and scotch tape. May you teach us how to count our blessings, count them one by one. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks that you sent Jesus, the Son, the Good Shepherd, that he knows each one of us by name and we are loved for everything that makes us who we are. And in continuation of that, I invite you to say the Lord's Prayer along with me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us proclaim God's word in the reading of Psalm 23, the Divine Shepherd, which is a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. May God bless his reading.
We thank you for your mercy, Father.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just this time.
Changes.
Sorry.
Okay. I have to find it first. Okay. I'll be reading John 10, 11 through 18, found on page 103 in the New Testament in your pew Bibles. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down for my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. May the Lord bless his word.
Will you all pray with me? Holy One, we come to you this morning seeking and offering these words. I pray that you once again bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our collective hearts as we come together this blessed morning. Amen. So, first time here, a little rough, but we'll get through it. So this is the fourth Sunday of the 7 weeks of Eastertide, so it's still Easter. We are more than halfway to Pentecost, where we celebrate the birth of the church. And some of us wear our favorite red garments to celebrate. Many early followers of Jesus would have been familiar with describing the promised Messiah as a caring and skillful shepherd. Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel all use similar language. And likewise, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah contrast the divine shepherd with worthless ones who neglect, who exploit, who scatter the flock. For listeners today, Psalm 23 is likely the best known reference to God as a shepherd, with the rod and the staff evoking the hazards of the wilderness. The rod, of course, is for fending off wolves and lions, and the staff for rescuing sheep trapped in thickets and crevices. As I sat with the scripture again this week, I had a little bit of an unusual week, as some of you know. I thought about this dichotomy, the good shepherd versus a worthless one. I thought about all the places that I have worked where I've had to sign ethics statements. And better yet, does anyone know what a fiduciary duty is? Yeah, fiduciary duty is an obligation to act in the best interest of another party. For instance, a corporation's board member has a duty, a fiduciary one, to the shareholders. A trustee has that duty, a fiduciary one, to the trust beneficiaries. And an attorney has a fiduciary duty to a client, even a realtor. How many of us have been at places where we have either had those duties for others or have had people who had duties owed to us? It's rhetorical, really, because almost everything and every infraction and interaction we're part of has some sort of power relationship built into it. And ethics clauses or fiduciary duties or obligations are there so that people or organizations and corporations with the power don't take advantage of those with less or little to none. Some of us have bought cars, hired movers, or had some sort of transactions with the power did us wrong. And I'll come back to the issue of power in a bit. So let's get to what's happening in the crux of John. The phrase good shepherd, the Greek word translated as good or beautiful, kalos, means not morally good, but rather real and proper. Or some even write winsomeness that makes it lovely to behold. As in, I am the true shepherd, or I am the genuine one. But what is that exactly? What does a good shepherd look like? It may be helpful to begin with a reading, not with the verse 11, that I am the good shepherd, but with verse 10, where it says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good true shepherd. The goal of the true shepherd's work is to give the sheep abundant life, flourishing. And what is abundant life? According to John, abundant life is a life of love and intimacy with God. Precursor to next week's reading, John will go on to describe intimacy as comparable to the close and almost indistinguishable relationship between a vine and its branches. To give the sheep this vibrant and flourishing fullness of life, Jesus is willing to what? To lay down his own life, to suffer. And we may ask, how will the sheep be better off if the shepherd dies? Seems kind of odd. If a wolf comes and the shepherd steps in and gets killed, well, this might buy the sheep a little time, right? But won't the wolf just come back for them next time? And all the more easily now, right? Since the shepherd is no more. But John has something else in mind. For John, Jesus' death makes possible a surprising chain of events. This grand reversal, an ever-opening entree into abundant life, it's for the sake of this chain of events, and ultimately that life, that the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You've heard it said, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than those. Beneath and throughout all of this dynamic of an ever-expanding circle of salvation in John, the Jewish Messiah, Luke and John, the whole New Testament insists will also embrace outsiders, Gentiles. Jesus ascends and will draw all people in, from John 12. In this week's passage from John, Jesus puts the same theme this way. I have other sheep, sheep that do not belong to this fold. Precisely who these sheep are is left unspecified, right? That's the shepherd or Jesus' business in this text, not ours. The practical effect of this teaching for us today, though, is that we dare not imagine anyone outside of God's flock, even those who reject Jesus, perhaps. As Jesus himself hints, in the end of the flock may well include all people. Our duty as Christians, of faith-based folks following Jesus, is to be good shepherds too, to stand with the marginalized, those with less power, to keep them from harm, sometimes blocking them physically from harm. I don't know if it means we need to necessarily die like Jesus, but to die into ourselves, living into this strange and radical kingdom, relearning what church looks like in the 21st century, where all might have enough, all are cared for, and the difference between all are welcome, and this was created with you in mind, for you, not as an afterthought. My friend Doug wrote a very controversial book, Outdoing Jesus, Seven Ways to Live Out the Promise of Greater Than, and it follows this text that I brought up earlier. Very truly I tell you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, but they will also do greater things. He posits that not only are we to strive to be like Jesus, but that Jesus gives us the courage to do more. That it's scriptural to believe that we can do more than Jesus in his short 3 years of ministry. The ancient prophet's critique of the bad shepherds is both clarifying and convicting for Christian churches today. Ezekiel pulls no punches. You have not strengthened the weak, he says. You have not healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strayed or sought the lost. So they were scattered because there was no good shepherd. And scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. Embedded in this critique is the church's job description and a challenging standard for which to measure our work. But Jesus' critique of entire systems, and it calls us to intimately move with him in us. Tall order, right? So Jesus ascends for the sake of drawing in all people and for the sake of the Holy Spirit's arrival that gives birth to the church. This church, even, some 2,000 years later, was born. The other part that has left me wondering within the scripture is the other sheep part. That one's rough. Jesus wasn't a Christian, right? So I keep coming back to this place where we don't get to presume that we can draw a definitive circle around the beloved children of God, as if we could ever say, these, but not those. It certainly makes shepherding wider, and some might say easier, right? Because all are included in this invitation. In the beginning of the message, we talked about fiduciary responsibilities, which I'm sure might come up tomorrow in one of those meetings I get to attend. They're lined out in the gospel pretty clearly here in John, and he isn't known to be the most practical of field guides, John. But even he makes it clear. It's simple. Feed my sheep. But it doesn't stop there, friends. Save them from harm. Keep them from being devoured. Protect them from bad business deals. Whatever we do for work, if we do it with the mind of Christ, of protecting those we are called to serve, we are doing it with the call that Jesus has invited us to do more, to be good. No beautiful, enlightened shepherds that witness in awe, but practicing the love of God in the world. Amen.
Okay, our communion hymn, which is Here is Bread, is found in the Purple Chalice Praise, number 161.
Friends, today at this table, we have an invitation to both receive, but also to go and to give and to be good shepherds. And on the night on which he was betrayed, Jesus took a loaf of bread after giving thanks. He broke it, saying, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Similarly, after supper, he took the cup of wine, saying, This is a new covenant in my blood. For as often as you drink it, you proclaim the Lord's life and death until he comes again.
Please pray with me. O God, what love you have given us that we should be called your children. We could never earn this title, yet you have given it to us. We are sanctified by your love and pure through your grace. In a beautiful mystery, we gather around this table at Christ's invitation. We break bread and drink from the cup together as we remember his sacrifice for us. As we bless the bread and the cup, may we be nourished by your love. Through your Holy Spirit, may we live lives that represent you, that we may find the peace that you offer. Amen.
Thank you.
Now is the time in our service where we joyfully can give to the ongoing work of the church, be it the missions such as Family Promise, Sketch Club, Mark Twain Elementary, the Tennyson Center, or One Nation Walking, or just for the upkeep of this building. So please give as you are able.
Thank you.
Dear Lord and most gracious God, bless these, our gifts, and help it to glorify you and your church. Amen.
Friends, I invite you to stand as you're able and sing hymn number 558. But also, at the heart of who we are as disciples of Christ, there is an invitation there to be part of us, to be a part of a community, to be willing to walk with us, to learn alongside of us, and to seek and doubt with us. So if you feel moved to join with us, to be a part of that beloved community, I invite you to come forward this morning so that we may welcome you. As you go today, may you be nourished by our shepherd's abundant love. May you go forth walking in those paths. May you love one another in truth and action. And may God's abundant blessings abide in you forever. Amen.